Penguin Random House Audio presents Real Moments. Discover the Secret for True Happiness by Barbara DeAngelis. Read by Barbara DeAngelis.
Part 1, Your Quest for Happiness. Hi, I'm Barbara DeAngelis, and I'm excited to be able to share this program with you. I hope that listening to it will help you create more moments of love and meaning in your life, because this program is about the real moments that make life matter and how to have more of them. It's about experiencing fulfillment and meaning in your life right now, not when you have more money or find the right partner or achieve your perfect weight, but in this and every moment. It is about how to rediscover real moments with your mate and your children, real moments with your work and your play, and most of all, real moments with yourself. Most of my previous work has been about the relationships men and women have with one another. Real Moments is about the relationship we have with the process of living itself and the peace many of us have been searching for, whether we're aware of it or not. Look honestly at your own life. Are your days and nights spent doing things that are meaningful and make you smile? Or do you spend the majority of your time doing things that give you back the smallest percentage of joy? When your life is over, will you wish you'd spent your time differently? If you had just 1 month to live, what would you change? Look deeply into your own heart. Are you happy? Is there something you think needs to happen before you can be happy? Are you sure that if that something occurred, you would truly be happy then? Would it be enough? Look closely at the values of your spirit. If you suddenly died tomorrow and you looked back on your life, what moments would you cherish the most? What would you miss the most about your time on earth? I offer you an opportunity to begin finding the answers to these questions for yourself. I believe that asking ourselves these questions is very important. It forces us to stop living our lives mechanically and unconsciously and demands that we pay attention. There's a famous Zen story about a student who approaches his master and asks him to share some words of wisdom about life. The master looks intently at the anxious disciple for a moment and then writes one word with his brush, attention. The disciple is confused and nervously asks the master to elaborate again, and the master writes, attention. By this time, the young student is beside himself with frustration. He can't figure out what his teacher is trying to tell him. And once more, the master patiently writes, attention, attention, attention. Paying attention to the moments in your life as they unfold is what having real moments means. Moments when you are fully present, fully feeling, fully alive. Sometimes they will be moments of great happiness. Sometimes they will be moments of profound sorrow. But always, when you pay attention to where you are and what is going on right now, you will experience a moment that has meaning, a moment that matters, and that is what I call a real moment. Leonard Nimoy once said as the character Mr. Spock in Star Trek, "I find the question of why we are here typically human. I'd suggest are we here would be the more logical choice." Are you fully here right now, listening to this sentence? Or are you listening and thinking about the work you should be doing, or what you're going to have for dinner? Are you kind of listening, but also worrying about the argument you had with your lover last night or whether the guy you just met will call and ask you out? Most of us are not very good at giving all of our attention to whatever activity we're involved in, at surrendering fully to the experience of the moment. Having real moments is difficult when we spend so much time not being in the present. For part of what makes a real moment so powerful, so fulfilling, is that you're experiencing it 100%. Another term for this is mindfulness. Mindfulness is a concept that is an integral part of many Eastern spiritual traditions, particularly Buddhism. Simply put, it means to pay complete attention to whatever you're doing, to allow your mind to be full of the experience. Mindfulness delivers you fully into the moment. It can turn an ordinary experience like taking a walk, putting your child to bed, holding your partner close, or even driving your car into a real moment. When you're being mindful, your intention is to fully experience where you are and what you're doing, rather than to have what you're doing now be another passing, forgettable moment which comes after what you just did and before what you're about to do. The opposite of mindfulness is mindlessness, to do things without thinking, without feeling, automatically and unconsciously. I believe that it is our mindlessness that causes much of our suffering and the suffering of those around us. Mindlessness is what allows you to stay in a relationship that isn't nourishing you, and may even be harming you and not notice how miserable you are. Mindlessness is what allows you to ignore messages your body's trying to give you when it has chronic indigestion or heartburn, and instead to pop an antacid into your mouth until one day, years later, the doctor diagnoses you with a serious disease. Mindlessness is what allows you to smoke, drink, or do drugs and not notice, in spite of your chronic cough, your emotional inconsistency, or your mental ups and downs, that you're slowly killing yourself and hurting the people you love. Mindlessness is what allows you to know that there is injustice and cruelty occurring in the world around you, but not to speak out against it or do anything to stop it. Mindlessness is an unhealthy mental habit many of us suffer from too much of the time. When we live our lives mindlessly, we miss all the real moments. We move through our days, months, and years focusing not on where we are, but on where we're going, and then wonder why we never feel we arrive anywhere that brings us lasting fulfillment. It's easy to be mindless in America because dreaming of and living for a better tomorrow is the American way. America has always been a place where people come to chase their dreams. The problem is, in the second half of the 20th century, we've gotten so good at living for tomorrow that most of us spend very little time in the present. We plan for or worry about the future, and before we know it, our life is over, and we realize that we were too busy being preoccupied with what had already happened or what we wanted to happen that we forgot to enjoy what was actually happening in each and every moment. We become experts at preparing to live, but have a difficult time fully enjoying the process of being alive right now. We prepare for our careers, we prepare for the holiday season, we prepare for the weekend, we prepare for our retirement. When you add them all up, we're preparing for our life to be over. The problem with being so good at living for the future is that we get in the habit of not being in the moment. So when those wonderful events we've planned for actually occur, the vacation, the promotion, the party, we have no idea how to enjoy them. We rush through these long-awaited experiences as if we can't wait to get them over, treating them like another task to be dealt with, and then wonder why we're left feeling so let down, so unfulfilled. When we spend our lives preparing for the future rather than enjoying the present, we end up postponing happiness. We lose our ability to appreciate and experience joy, so when we do have the opportunity for real moments, we miss them. In America, we live in a culture that values doing and not being. So it's no wonder that we're not good at creating and delighting in real moments. We've been concerned with quantity rather than quality, with the stimulation of constant activity rather than substance. We often judge ourselves and others on what we've accomplished rather than who we are. Since World War II, we've been in an era of frenzied consumerism. We wanted to get as much stuff as possible as fast as we could. Consumption and accomplishment have been held up as the keys to happiness. We told ourselves that if we had the car, the house, the color TV, the right job, we'd made it. And if we had a newer model of these than the guy next door, or a more prestigious position, we were a success. Our heroes became those people who had the most. Our values focused on things. Our goal was having and accomplishing instead of living. This consumption consciousness inevitably turned us into experts at postponing happiness. Postponing happiness means believing that in order to be happy, certain conditions must be met. You think to yourself, I'll be happy when I find the right partner, when I lose 20 pounds, when my kids are married and successful, when I have my own business, when I decorate my living room, when my boss finally gives me a promotion. You fill in your own blanks. We believe that when we have a certain experience or get a certain possession or achieve a certain status, we'll finally be happy, and not until then. So we work hard or allow time to pass, and eventually what we thought would make us happy occurs. We finish school or lose the weight or open our own business or buy the house. Then we wait to be overcome with joy, and we're disappointed. We may feel a sense of satisfaction, but we don't feel happy. And so the process starts all over again. Well, I know I said if I became company manager, I'd be happy, but now I realize what will really make me happy would be to become a supervisor. And so once again, we postpone our happiness until we achieve the next goal. Like all addictions, the need to have enough and do enough requires increasingly larger doses to get you high until you're just not getting off anymore. And for many of us, that's precisely what's been happening. We've bought our cars and condos. We've launched our careers and climbed up the success ladder. We've tried to give our children the luxuries we didn't have growing up. We've gotten many of the things we wanted and become many of the things we hoped for. But slowly, we've begun to suspect that something is wrong, that the kind of dreams we've been following have delivered us into a spiritual and emotional dead end. We've been substituting the possessions we collected and the goals we achieved for real moments. And in spite of it all, many of us are not happy. What makes this process...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?